Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we go international as we welcome Alison Metcalf from Tourism Ireland and Gavin Deere from Scotland and ShotScope Technologies. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along. What a great week last week in Augusta, Georgia. So exciting, and what a great winter, and so appropriately so. Finally, the Grand Slam for one Rory McIlroy. Got invited to a great event last week, but I was unable to attend due to a conflict. It was put on by Tourism Ireland, and it's no problem because they're still celebrating after the Northern Ireland golfer Rory McIlroy's big win. They're still going strong, and we are joined by Alison Metcalf, who is the Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland, because they're still celebrating. And even though Alison is based out in New York, it was a huge win for Rory and for the whole Republic. So congratulations to you, Alison.
Oh, thank you. I think we're still celebrating, as you say, a fantastic victory for Rory, for Northern Ireland, and indeed the island of Ireland. We're incredibly proud.
So you are one of the people, and it's a lot. There's a lot of people in your group, both in the U.S. and in Ireland, that are promoting the island and doing things to get people perked up about going to the place that's always green. And so we thought it'd be a great time to put the two and two together, because I got to think, with Rory's win, the notoriety for Irish golf is certainly top level. Shane Lowry did a pretty nice job at the Masters as well. And it was such an international field. So it just felt right to reach out and bring Tourism Ireland on to talk about the potential impact impact that golf in the U.S. can have from an Irish standpoint.
Absolutely. I mean, Tourism Ireland, we are the destination marketing organization, and our goal is quite simply to try and, in my case, get more Americans and Canadians, North Americans, to travel to the island of Ireland. But we market the island of Ireland internationally, and golf is, you know, obviously a very important part of that consideration. We welcomed about 1.2 million visitors last year. But I think when we're getting back to golf here, I mean, I think Rory's victory, along with all of the other great play by Irish golfers out on tour, they're incredible ambassadors for the island of Ireland. And I think Rory's victory last week, not only were we incredibly proud of what he's accomplished, but I think it just reinforces the island of Ireland as a destination. It's a destination and a home of champions. We've had so many champions that have emerged from Ireland. We're a small country, but golf is a very important part of everyday life for a lot of people on the island. So interest in Ireland at the moment from North America is incredibly strong. Interest in golf is particularly strong. And this year we're looking forward to hosting the Open Championship again. It returns to Royal Portrush, and another iconic championship course located up on the Causeway coastal route to the north coast. So hopefully Rory's victory last week will certainly propel him to perhaps try and achieve another victory, another Open victory, this time at Royal Portrush. And of course, the last time the Open Championship was held in Northern Ireland, Shane Lowry won in 2019. So lots of things happening. We have the Open Championship. We have the Amgen Irish Open taking place at the K Club in September. So we expect to see all of the Irish golfers back out in contention and playing at home. So for people interested in planning a trip to Ireland for golf particularly, I would encourage them to book early. There's a lot of interest. But also, think about, it's not just about playing those championship signature courses. There's an incredible array of other great links courses up in the Northwest. And just remembering that Ireland is home to one third of the world's true links courses. So there's lots of opportunities and options for people looking to play golf. And of course, when people go to Ireland to play golf, they also have a great opportunity to enjoy a fantastic 19th hole. And I think that is something that really does differentiate the Irish golf offering from other destinations.
When talking to one of our regular contributors to the show, John Steinbrenner, who's traveled the world, he always has stories about sitting in some pub. You know, it's not usually about the golf. it's always the, as you said, the 19th hole, Allison, and that is one of the special things. When I was in Ireland about 10 years ago, didn't play any golf, but got a chance to see the country for the first time, and such a difference between a place like Dublin and then Northern Ireland with Belfast. That's, you know, when you're obviously, yeah, no, you know, have the whole scope that you're promoting.
Absolutely. As you recall what John said there, I think that's what people say when they come back from Ireland. Of course, people go, they want to explore the destination. They want to see and do new things and explore a unique culture. And they also want to spend time with their friends and family, but they want to have fun and they want to do active things. And I think whether you're going to play golf, whether you're going to do other active things, walking, cycling, or just explore some of our great scenery, our landscapes, enjoy some of the great food, there is something for everybody. But at the end of the day, I think what most people come back with are those great stories. It's the people they met, the crack, as we say, C-R-A-I-C. I have to say that because we're on radio here. It's a Gaelic word for fun. It is about having good fun, meeting those locals. Ireland is a destination that you can really sort of very easily get under the skin of. And as you say, you may end up in a pub, you may end up on a hiking trip, you may end up in many different circumstances, but you will meet a lot of friendly people. And I think that's one thing that people always sort of remember when they come back. It is the stories and the fun that they've had around Ireland. So yes, it's a destination. I should also say, Keith, that is easy to get to. This year we have direct air services from 21 gateways across the United States. And probably worth calling out three new gateways which are just launching in the next sort of couple of weeks. Delta is starting a new Detroit to Dublin service. Aer Lingus is starting a new Indianapolis to Dublin service. And just last week, Aer Lingus launched their Nashville to Dublin service. So easy to get to, and particularly if you're in the, you know, the East Coast and the Midwest, you can be there quicker than certainly you can be on the West Coast, and way more braggable, and on the golf course, of course, before lunchtime.
Well, it's very historic as well, not just because the land has been there since dirt was invented, but it's interesting because you have really two countries that have melded together over time, and it hasn't been that long ago, that many decades ago, where there's such strife. And especially in Northern Ireland. So to be able to promote it as a one island is a big deal. And for people not from Ireland, it's people from other parts of the world to understand that is very important, because you can still take the black taxi tour and you can still see the walls of the neighborhoods that have Molotovs exploded against them and the burn marks and such. But it really has come leaps and bounds from where it once was.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one thing that I always like to say is, tourism is borderless, and Tourism Ireland was actually set up as a direct result of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, whose architect was actually Senator George Mitchell. So the US played a big role in that, and tourism was identified as an area for close cooperation. So the peace dividend for tourism over the last 27 years has been massive. And when you travel to Ireland, it's borderless. You tour around the full island. We're immensely proud to be promoting north, south, east, and west. And my family are actually from Northern Ireland, not very far from where Rory is from in Hollywood. I think for people that perhaps have visited Ireland once before, but perhaps didn't make it up, not just to Northern Ireland, but the northwest of the island, Donegal and Mayo and Sligo, that northwesterly part of the Wild Atlantic Way, that's a reason to come back, because there's incredible things to do and see, incredible experiences. Whether it's that you're going to Belfast to see the Titanic exhibition, it's a really interactive experience. You have the Giant's Causeway, Bushmills Whiskey Distillery, the Game of Thrones studio tours, film tourism, screen tourism is right around the island of Ireland is another reason that people sometimes select Ireland as their vacation destination. So there's so much to see. Tourism brings peace, and peace brings tourism, and tourism has had a really positive impact right around the island. It's the largest indigenous industry in terms of employment. It supports over 300,000 jobs, north and south. And it's one of the few industry sectors for people interested in listening that actually, has impact in small, local, rural communities. So more than 60% of the jobs created through tourism and through the impact that, overseas visitors have are in rural areas. So that allows people to, perhaps if they're growing up in a small town or village, they can have gainful employment in those areas too. So it has a very positive impact. And everything that we are doing at Tourism Ireland, working in partnership with the tour operators, the airlines, the hotels, the visitor experiences on the island of Ireland, is underpinned by a commitment to sustainability. We want to deliver a positive economic impact, but we want to make sure that, and I think most visitors do, I know Americans really care about this, is when they do travel, is that they have a positive impact at a community and environmental level as well.
Talking to Alison Metcalf, the Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland on TW Keith Jones. And we had this revenge travel going on for a while after the pandemic. What are you seeing now as far as, because I know you don't just monitor what's going on in Ireland, you monitor what's going on in other jurisdictions as well.
Absolutely. Certainly, I think that revenge travel post-COVID, I think that's probably pretty much worked its way out of the system now, 2023, 2024. I think we're back to normal, what I like to say, trading environment. But what we are still continuing to see, and I think this certainly you saw this after COVID, was that people are still continuing to prioritize travel wherever they're traveling to. They realize it's an important part of their life. And even with some of the economic headwinds that we've had over the last few years with inflation and rising costs and things, people are choosing to prioritize travel over other discretionary spend items. We're also seeing that people are wanting to travel with their families, so a lot of multi-generational trips, whether it's for golf or for general touring, mums, dads, kids and grandkids all traveling together. And that applies right across the board. Obviously, we feel that Ireland offers a good fit for that, for that segment of the market. And an increase also in what I call sort of premium travel, luxury travel. Certainly, we're finding here in the US that people are willing to spend a little bit more when they're traveling internationally and traveling to Europe. They want to make the most of their time. They're willing to spend on new and unique experiences to make sure they really do have the very best experience. So those are all things that we're certainly seeing. The appetite for travel is still there. Obviously, there's some economic headwinds out there, but right now things are, in terms of international travel to Ireland and to Europe, it's holding strong. But I think the revenge piece has probably worked its way out of the system. But yeah. Nevertheless, travel is important to people.
Oh, it still is. And I just wanted to hear it come from a person who would be around the front lines and in the know on that. Haven't heard that term for a while, but
yeah.
Figured that was probably where it had gone. The one thing I hear about Ireland a lot, and I've been fortunate to have gone to Dublin because that's where my friends were staying outside of or living outside of, the cost. It's an expensive city. So how do you make it cost effective when you're trying to get people to come to Ireland?
Well, I think that, it depends on where we are. We do a lot of research, and we've recently done some research in the U.S. market. And actually, Americans traveling to Ireland, actually the majority find Ireland offers very good value. And again, I suppose your reference points vary, depending on where you're living. If you're living in New York City or San Francisco or other major urban centers, your points of comparison are a little bit different. But generally speaking, the U.S. market and U.S. travelers find Ireland offers good value. I think when you think about it, I think certainly, like anywhere, booking early.
Well, Alison, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. I'm sure we'll be talking with you down the road, but really appreciate your time. Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland. Congratulations to Rory McIlroy and his green jacket. We'll be back. And we are back and now joined by Gavin Deere. We want to introduce you to Gavin. We met him in Orlando and he was hanging out at one of the parties we were at. Actually, the PR firm, Kevin Fish's PR firm, represents ShotScope Technologies in the U.S. They're based out of Scotland, which is where we find Gavin Deere. It is great to have you on. It was great to meet you. And thanks so much for making time to come on the show.
No, likewise. Enjoyed meeting you at the event. Happy to catch up and see where this conversation goes. Looking forward to it.
Well, this is going to go right into this little bag over here. I can't believe I got it all to fit into, ironically, a Ted Baker London bag, super green fluorescent. I don't know what Ted was thinking, but he's very, very successful designer. But as I go in here, you know, if you listen to this show, you know, we do technology. We do a lot of things based around the PGA show and the industry. We like to cover all the gamuts because there's some great stuff out on the market. And if you have a rangefinder, or if you're lucky enough to have a watch or any of the new technology like that, you know exactly where this conversation is going to go, this portion of the show, because it helps the golfers tremendously. And if you don't have a rangefinder, I wasn't offending you, so it wasn't meant to be that. Gavin has a ton of them, so you know that's we're going to find out what a chief commercial officer is in a second. But Gavin, this new rangefinder and this new watch is phenomenal. Now you're based out of Scotland, so I know penetration throughout the UK and Ireland and Scotland is much bigger than it is in the US. But that's part of the reason why we're having you on the show, to introduce people who are unaware or not as aware of ShotScope as other brands. Now we know in the US, Bushnell has a large majority of the pie, but there are other rangefinders. As a matter of fact, if you go into a PGA Tour Superstore or some place like that, there's usually a lot. Now, you're limited in space as far as the retail goes, but there are a lot of companies playing in this realm.
Yeah, there is. So to provide some background, we are based in Scotland, as you said. Been around for nearly 11 years. Specialized in watches, and that's the difference between the UK and US market. The UK is more watch based and the US is more rangefinder based. But we now have a product line that caters for a variety of different watches, different price points, same with rangefinders, all the way from $150 up to $369. Handhelds, tag-based systems, tracking systems. So we've got a real breadth of product line. We are chasing down Garmin, which is the market leader in the UK. So we're second in terms of brand sales in the UK. And in the US, we are growing ridiculously quickly. And that through direct sales on our website, e-com, Amazon, etc. But then also retail. So we're, like you said, we are president of PGA Superstore, Edwin Watts, the Worldwide Golf Chains, Golf Town in Canada, Dick's Sporting Goods, Golf Galaxy, and a number of independent stores. It's growing really quickly. And that's really down to the breadth of products that we offer and the fact that technology is just growing into the game of golf and becoming something that is critical for golfers to be using, frankly.
So the watch that I have in front of me is the new G6. That's a very, I don't want to say scaled down version, but it's a very lightweight, comfortable to wear watch that does have a number of things available technology-wise in it, but it's different than your 5 or your 4, the versions that came before it.
Yes, so the G6 is our, at least it's entry-level watch, but it's packed with features. So it's GPS only, doesn't have any of our tracking technology, comes with two different strap colors, and you can actually go onto our website and choose a range of colors. And Then it has full course maps, which at the 179 price point is pretty unusual. Has all the golf courses preloaded. We own our course mapping data, so if your course makes a change, we can update that in 40 hours.
With Gavin Deer from ShotScope, we will be back after this Bomb the Hour break.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga la Gunga.
And we're back with Gavin Deer introducing you to ShotScope Technologies. And Gavin is the Chief Commercial Officer. Okay, what does that mean? Tell everyone.
That's a great question. I mean, look, I look after sales, marketing, and then logistics. Globally, my own job, in terms of sales, we have a sales team of five people, a number of agents around the world as well. And I look after some accounts on my own. And then we have a marketing team of 11 now. So again, we're looking after that, constantly producing content for retailers, our own marketing, our partners. We have a number of influencers. As you mentioned, we work with Kevin Fritch PR and then GMS PR in Europe. So, you know, we're kind of fighting a lot of battles all over the place. So trying to help the guys as much as possible, or get out of their way, as they would probably put it.
All right, so what's the owner do then, besides play golf all day? Because it seems like you're doing all the heavy lifting.
I tell you what, it's the adage is true. You know, if you want to play golf, don't work in the golf industry.
There it is, all the way from Scotland, the great Dave Pells and Barney Adams specifically told me that. And nobody listens. I told Rudy Slucker, who bought Tommy Armour years ago, the same thing because Barney knew. And there's a guy that did pretty well in the golf industry. But do not get involved with the golf industry if you want to play more golf. There you go. Right from my guest, Gavin Deer of ShotScope. So you mentioned prior in the show, in the last segment, that Europe is all about the watch and North America is more about the rangefinder. And I find that very interesting because first time I've ever heard that. But why is that? And doesn't it make more sense just to wear it right on your wrist?
So I get asked this question once a week. I've got pretty good at answering this. So there's multiple reasons. First reason, history. So Skycaddy introduced GPS in England 20 years ago, and that was predominantly watch-based, and just how they did the technology. And at the same time, Bushnell were using hunting rangefinders and use rangefinders and introduce that into the golf market. So there's a history element. There's a golf's element where you could strongly argue there's more blind shots and holes in the UK and Europe than in the US. So rangefinders become less useful in that environment.
Mm.
And then I think with the way that technology has gone, you will have a lot of flags in the US that have got the sort of the crystal system that helps rebound the laser and makes it slightly easier to hit the flag. That's really uncommon in the UK. So there's a couple of aids there to make range finders work a bit easier. And then also you have the volume of cart use. And I was actually at a National Golf Foundation event in California last year. They mentioned about 4 or 5 years ago, GPS in carts was 50%. It's now fallen to 15. But again, the US golfer, if they were using a cart, they had a 1 in 2 chance of having a GPS information anyway in the cart.
Yeah, but
I
a
agree.
lot of times you have to stay in cart path. So that's the rub there. It's great that the technology is in the cart. We would rather see more of the European way of playing golf, and that is walking with a cart or what have you, especially with the technology in that area, the way that has exploded as well. So it makes a ton of sense, but that's the problem with having GPS in your cart is your ball is over there and your cart is over here, and it has to stay on the cart path or has to stay away from the greens and all that stuff. So that's a rub. The one thing that I noticed about this watch, and it is a watch, you can tell the time. It's fantastic. I don't see anywhere we can track our steps. I'm disillusioned. Because this is the thing that's put the Apple Watch on. If you've fallen down, two really true funny stories that happened just earlier this week. People were talking; they were wearing their Apple Watch. One young lady was driving her car, and must have knocked it with her sweater or something. And 911 was calling her to find out what her problem was. She says, "No problem. I'm driving on the roadway, and I don't need any problem. I'm fine. I'm feeling fine." And but in the meantime, she was trying to tap the watch to get it to turn off, which is a bigger danger than that because you're going at high speed and you're being distracted by this watch. And then this gentleman I was talking to had a it go off, and he accidentally he was pounding on something with a hammer. With his watch hand, even though it's his offhand, he happened to be pounding it with his left hand, which is where the watch was, and it sent a signal that thinking that he had fallen down. So technology is good and bad at the same time.
Yeah, look, we work really hard with the technology to make sure that it doesn't slow down the game. And that's probably the biggest concern that guys have with the impact of technology on golf. It's not going to phone 911. You've bent over to pick a ball out of a hole and it thinks you've fallen. But yeah, it's trying to make sure that it doesn't slow the game down. Our tracking watches do collect your steps, so there is that on some of the watches. But yeah, the G6 doesn't do that. It's a bit more simpler than that.
It certainly is. I see the V5 does track steps, but hey, I'm just gonna have to know that I'm getting into my steps regardless. I don't really need to know that I walked 10,500 as long as I walked 10,500. I don't know. It was worth. Gavin Deere from Scotland, that is the home of ShotScope Technologies. Besides the watch, there is a Pro LX Plus also in this bag. And let me reach over here. And the reason I want to pull this out is because it's comes with not just a laser range finder and a GPS handheld. It has these little screw tips that can go into the butt of your club. Now, companies like Arcos have come out with that technology over the years, and there have been a number of other companies that have done it. But what led ShotScope to encompass that into their rangefinder?
So, I mean, this is a good story. So,
That's what we're all about. Good stories on Teed Up with Keith Jones.
so this is where our ShotScope's born out of. It's our tracking technology. So we've always had tracking technology as part of our watches, and we're really good with our watches. And goodness me, this is like 8, 9 years ago. I started to travel over to the US, meet some retailers, introduce our watches. And quite quickly they were saying, that's great, we're interested, what else do you do? So in one of the trips, I just say I've traveled too far to say nothing. And we're working on a rangefinder. Had to go home and say, look, this retailer's interested in our watches, but also our rangefinder. We better start investigating optics and all sorts. So we produced a Pro L1, our first rangefinder. And I actually then traveled down to London, introduced it to our European PR company, and they're based at a golf course, and said, why don't we go play nine holes? And I was standing on the ninth, a par five, pins at the back of the green. I can laser the flag. I don't have my watch. I want to know the distance to the front of the green. And I was quite disturbed by not having the right information through the technology. And we drove 7 hours up, back up to Scotland after that round of golf and meeting the guys. And that's where the Pro LX Plus came from, that conversation of how can we introduce GPS onto a rangefinder so that you can have the best of both worlds, your front, middle, back distances, your hazards, but also have the flexibility of the rangefinder to hit any target you want to, whether it be the flag, trees, bunker faces. And then the other advantage was with the handheld part of this rangefinder, we could look at introducing the tags, allowing tracking, and that could plug into our ecosystem that was already being used for improvement by our watch users. And we managed to sort of nail the whole product in that 8-hour drive.
So are you most proud of the rangefinder then, or of the watch line?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I have a few of them.
I've played sort of quite a role in both sides of the technology. The watches are really complicated. Our guys that build it are sort of ex-military electronics designers. But the rangefinders, I kind of do a lot of direction on that. So I would probably say rangefinders personally, but I know there's a lot within the company that just love how we track on watches and the simplicity of that tracking experience.
Talking to Gavin Deer, who he's in Scotland, by the way, and he's the chief commercial officer for ShotScope Technologies. Now I'm going to ask you about this rangefinder mentality versus the watch mentality. We talked about the watches being avidly used in the UK and throughout Europe, not so much in the US. How do you change that mentality and grab a bigger foothold in the US and in North America in general?
Yeah, so that is sort of the million-dollar question. Watches are the simplest way to get distances and use technology on the golf course, no doubt about that. And really for us, it's about trying to make sure in retail environments that golfers can go up and touch and feel the watches so they can learn that they're designed for comfort, they're lightweight, they're not going to bug people by playing with something on the wrist. Trying to create that in one area, and then also trying to highlight all the golfers that have taken that leap into using the watches, especially tracking ones, and how they can have improved their game, their decision making, lowered their scores effectively. So it takes some time. In the other side, our rangefinders are so successful, especially at retail, that's providing opportunities to grow the brand, and hopefully golfers go, hey, look, I've really enjoyed using this rangefinder. I'll find out what else golfers do. Short scope too. And you're also seeing something out there in the market where golfers are starting to use two pieces of technology. So it may be a watch and a range finder. They have that flexibility, or you can use one if you've just got the LX Plus.
So you mentioned that it's gotten very popular. Why has it gotten very popular? How has that happened?
Time, perseverance. We've been incredibly successful working with a lot of our influencers. But it's also that story of technology can help golfers lower their scores. You have the entry level of using a GPS watch like the G6, and that's going to give you your all the information you need to hit the shots. But when you step up into the tracking products, it can turbocharge that improvement, that improved decision making, the lower scores, and it becomes a really powerful score story because golfers, for the most part, don't really improve. We have form, but you're not meeting many golfers who've been playing for 15, 20 years and suddenly lower their handicap by 5 shots. They're playing at the same level they've generally played at. So this technology comes along and provides a pathway to improvement. That just becomes a powerful story to go and communicate out. And our marketing team, our partners, our influencers that we work with are really great at helping us amplify that story.
You're saying that's because they, when you're out on a golf course, you can be more accurate with your shots. You don't have to guess as much. Is that the idea why you say that golfers are improving when you'd said previously that they don't improve?
Yeah, so if you're taking a golfer that relies on a laser, if they don't have a laser previously, they will improve a little bit by having a laser, right? Because they get a bit more information to make a better decision. But golfers that we find that come and use our tracking technology will improve by 4 shots on average over the first 20 rounds of golf. And that's because they're learning exactly how far they hit the ball. They're learning their tendencies of left misses, right misses, the fact that golfers will take a 3 wood for safety. Well, we've got 450 million shots that say if you take a 3 wood, you've got a 1% chance of hitting the fairway using a driver, but you're going to lose 35 yards in distance off the tee. So the concept of I'm going to hit 3 wood for safety doesn't exist. So we can start to take these bits of information and allow golfers to make better decisions, and that ultimately leads to lower scores.
No question about it. With Gavin Deer from ShotScope, we'll be back to wrap up the show.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I'll be my dancer.
Back for our final segment of the show. Hope you've enjoyed our guest, Alison Metcalf, talking about Ireland, and from Scotland, Gavin Deer, the Chief Commercial Officer of ShotScope Technologies. He is pitching the G6 watch and the Pro LX Plus rangefinder. And when I say that, you mentioned that it's become very popular, especially in the States. There are a lot of rangefinders. How do people figure out, Gavin, besides name value, how do they figure out what's the best rangefinder or product for them?
Yeah, so initially I would say budget, what is the dollar amount you want to spend there? And you've got options really from $150 through to about $600. And then the features. So the features you really need as a golfer is a cart magnet and is slope and the ability to toggle that on and off. And then after that, it becomes fitting into the budget. I think there's a lot of publications that have good sort of top five list and showing how they rank and doing some testing. And then a lot of retailers will provide you the ability to go and sort of touch and feel and shoot some range finders in the store. So kind of a mix of all of that. I mean, ultimately, I think anything between $150 and $300 is going to give you a really good experience. I don't see a lot of benefit of a sort of just a rangefinder purchase over that $300. I don't think you're gaining a lot. I'd rather see you go and keep that cash and spend it on playing some golf. So, but get out to your local stores is a great example, or check out online publications that have tested them rigorously and then work out how it fits into that budget profile.
Yeah, so when I'm looking at the G6 watch, it's less than $200, and the Pro LX Plus rangefinder is closer to 370. So that's a huge variance. If I can get a lot of the technology that I need in a less expensive watch than a more expensive rangefinder, my brain would say, maybe this watch will do the trick for me.
Yeah, and with the watches, the key thing for anybody, make sure it doesn't come with a subscription. None of the ShotScope products come with any type of subscription, but make sure you don't. Some manufacturers have subscriptions. But I've got to say, if somebody was sitting there and saying, I don't have technology, what would you suggest? I would immediately say watch.
So
Go and have a look at
why doesn't
the G6.
ShotScope have a subscription? They choose you choose not to go in that direction, which I commend you for.
I mean, we don't need to, probably the first reason from a business standpoint, but also because we own all of our course maps, which is highly unusual for the golf industry. Most people license that. It's not a cost to us. So a lot of the time people have or manufacturers of subscriptions to sort of cover the cost of licensing maps. We don't have to do that. It's our own system. We manage it. We make about 250 course changes a week, keep it really up to date, and it's a big competitive advantage for us.
Well, that does. It keeps the cost down and keeps the overall cost down, because that's something that the golfers don't always think about. I've got this product, I spent this amount of money, but oh, by the way, there's additional costs because I need to get the subscription.
Yeah, and look, come from Scotland, so we like to play quick golf. We don't like to spend money. Probably the two Scottish traits there, right?
Awesome.
And the addition with a subscription is, we have a tough winter. We don't play a lot of golf. So again, you take that part of why somebody want to pay a subscription in December? It's snowing outside. You're not playing golf. It doesn't make sense. None of the things about subscriptions kind of really
Right.
mean a lot. Or
Yeah, you're exactly right. Gavin, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Gavin Deer, Chief Commercial Officer for ShotScope Technologies, my guest on Teed Up Keith Jones. We're just out of time. Hope you got a little education on that. Gavin knows his stuff. He is Scottish, by the way, from Scotland. But get out there and practice your game. Practice, practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.